Good morning.
Good morning.
It's lovely to see you all. And you, Tabitha.
She's so pleased to see you, Paul, as well.
So one of my New Year's resolutions is to be a little bit tougher with my parishioners. So I've got a notice for you. When you enter this church, it is likely, this is about mobile usage, by the way, it is likely that you'll hear the call of God. However, it is unlikely that he will call you on your mobile phone. Thank you for turning off your mobile phones. If you want to talk to God, enter, find a quiet place, and speak to him. If you want to see him, then send him a text on your phone whilst driving. Do you get it? Please tell me you get it. It's the joke that's the problem. Yeah? All right, I am going to give up. Anyway. We're going to have a time of waiting on God today after the worship session we're going to have Holy Communion as well, which will be the first time for some of us this year. So I'm going to hand you over to Alan, who is leading today.
Thank you very much, Paul. And no, the joke doesn't improve with telling. So a little bit more, I think it might be something he'll work on his sabbatical, how not to tell jokes at all. Anyway, let me add my own welcome and Happy New Year to everyone. We're here to worship the Lord this morning. So, an opening prayer. Once I have control. Let's pray. Lord, we gather here this first Sunday of the new year in a mixture of hope, anticipation, fear, excitement, and expectation. We do not know what the year holds for us. There may be things that we are afraid of. There is much to look forward to. Family celebrations, holidays to enjoy, friends to laugh with. Whatever the year holds for us, though, Lord, we trust you. And we place every day of this year in your care, knowing that you are with us, caring for us with constant love. And so, Lord, we place ourselves into your keeping and dedicate our lives to your service through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Saviour. Amen. And let us join together with our welcoming prayer. Lord Jesus, by your grace we gather here to worship and glorify you. Give us wisdom, courage and love to welcome the new person into this place so that they too can meet with you and know your redeeming love. Amen. Our first song of worship. Please do join in with vigour.
Now we start it, I'm sorry.
Praise when I'm doubting.
Let us just take a breath. Now let us declare our faith in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we say together, Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. He was buried. He was raised to life on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. Afterwards, he appeared to his followers and to all the apostles. This we have received, and this we believe. Amen. So as we start a new year, let us pray for our young people and the leaders as they go out. Dear Lord, we pray for our young people. At the start of a new year, may they be excited and envisioned to learn more of you. Be with their leaders as they share. And Lord, we ask that young minds will be open to you. Young minds will receive you, and Lord, that they will enter deeper into a living relationship with you as their Lord and their Saviour. Amen. Go and have a great time. Come to a time of confession. So in a time of silence, let us recall those times when we have failed to act as we should or acted in ways we know are wrong. Forgive us, Lord, when we are struggling with life, searching for answers and relying on our own strength and failing again. Remind us, Lord, that you are the strength upon whom we can call, the power to endure, the answer that we seek, and the one in whose arms we can safely fall. Forgive us, Lord, when we forget, and help us to turn to you in our weakness and rely on your loving goodness. Amen. We're going to have three songs of worship together, so please feel free to sit or stand during these. And just a reminder, at the end, we're going to have a time of waiting on God. I've got a friend closer than a brother. Thank you.
Until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. Yeah. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am in, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. Add the voices. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Amen.
Glory and grace.
Please be seated. Just thought, as we do from time to time, we would wait on the Lord. Last time I did this, Anne was healed, weren't you? So, of a right shoulder. So we know God. When we give time to God, I believe he uses it to do whatever he wants to do. And that's what I'm simply going to pray. And then we'll have a couple of minutes of silence. Father God, I thank you that you are present. I thank you that you are all-powerful. And I thank you that you know each person in this room. You know the number of hairs on their head. And your love for them is deeper than I can imagine. Hallelujah. And Father, we want to give you this time now. And we ask you to do whatever pleases you. whatever glorifies your holy name. We give this time to you for your purposes. And that's all I've got to say, Lord. Bless this time, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. Does anybody want to share anything?
I was out last week with John, and yeah, it did involve eating, as it always does. But he got a verse given to him from God. I think it was 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starts at verse 10. It's Paul talking to the Corinthians, and it says, no matter what situation you're in, always commend yourselves. And I don't think we do that enough. I think we put ourselves down too much, and you know, that's the lies of the enemy. There's no condemnation in Christ. And the second greatest commandment is love your neighbour as you love yourself. How can you love your neighbour if you don't love yourself? So I think that's what we've got to do more. I'm not saying love yourself through arrogance or vanity or pride. Sometimes we've just got to realise and comprehend the standing that we are with God and how much he does love us.
Thank you, Scott. Anybody else?
Thank you, Paul. In one of the hymns we just heard, there was a line, all my life you have been faithful. And that reminded me of a couple of verses in Paul's second letter to Timothy, chapter 2, verses 11 to 13. And here in this short passage, there are three great promises, but also one warning. Here is a trustworthy saying, if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. So if we died with him, then we rise in Christ with him. What a wonderful promise. If we endure, so if we suffer anything for the name of the Lord, whether from ridicule to persecution, if we endure and push through, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. That means if we turn our back on him, reject him completely, he will let us go our own way. But if we are faithless, and older translations put that as steadfast, so if we are not steadfast, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. So as we enter 2025, hang on to those wonderful promises, but keep that little warning at the back of your mind.
Thank you, Paul. Lorraine.
While we were worshipping the Lord, I saw a tall figure, I don't know whether it was a father or a brother or it was Jesus, walking along very confidently with a tiny little child, about 2 years old, walking. The child never took their eyes off Christ. They never looked forward to see where they were going. Their eyes were fixed upon Christ. And I think that is what the Lord's saying. Fix your eyes on me and stay steadfast in the Lord.
Basically, it just comes to my mind that it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And it's about finishing and just keep getting up, keep going, keep going, keep going. That's it.
So true. Go on then, Alan.
I shared earlier at the first service as well, just a picture I had when we were praying this morning. And I think we all love it when we look out and see a lovely snow-covered scene, don't we? And that was the picture I had, but then it became all slushy and a bit mucky and dirty. But then a little bit later, the snow had gone and it was all clear and bright and shiny again. And it was a reminder to me, and I think to all of us, that sometimes there's a process going on in our lives where we can go from something to something else, but we have to experience that slushiness in between. And it's perfectly fine for it to be there. It's something for us to deal with, but God is with us in that slushiness. And it's perfectly fine to deal with that and to share that with God so he takes us through it.
Thank you, Alan. And then Sue.
I had a picture this morning as some of us were praying before the first service, and it was a picture of a diary for 2025, and the pages were empty. And I just got a sense of God saying, how are we going to fill those pages together? What are we going to achieve this year together? And just a sense that he wants to be more involved in our lives every day, more and more involved.
Thank you, Sue. We better move on, hadn't we?
Yeah. If Sue could come and give us our bring us our reading, please.
This morning's reading is from the book of John, chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 1. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. From the very beginning, the Word was with God. Through him, God made all things. Not one thing in all creation was made without him. The Word was the source of life, and this life brought light to humanity. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never put it out. God sent his messenger, a man named John, who came to tell people about the light, so that all should hear the message and believe. He himself was not the light. He came to tell about the light. This was the real light, the light that comes into the world and shines on everyone. The Word was in the world, and though God made the world through him, yet the world did not recognize him. He came to his own country, but his own people did not receive him. Some, however, did receive him and believed in him. So he gave them the right to become God's children. They did not become God's children by natural means, that is, by being born as the children of a human father. God himself was their father. The Word became a human being and, full of grace and truth, lived among us. We saw his glory, the glory which he received as the Father's only Son. John spoke about him. He cried out, "This is the one I was talking about when I said, 'He comes after me, but he is greater than I am, because he existed before I was born.' Out of the fullness of his grace, he has blessed us all, giving us one blessing after another. God gave the law through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only Son, who is the same as God and is at the Father's side. He has made him known." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
A short prayer. Lord, may what we hear with our ears burn in our hearts and be set forth in our lives to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Now, I have to say, I was a little bit dismayed and somewhat daunted when I received my reminder on Church Builder that I would be preaching today. You see, I was shocked to learn that the readings today were not to be based on the Epiphany, which falls tomorrow, and today, of course, is the last day of Christmas. Get your decorations down. Now, I've preached on the Epiphany many times, and I've got about 6 sermons on my bookshelf ready to dust down at any time and with a few tweaks to bring them up to date and go forth. And that's what I was expecting to do when I knew I was preaching today some weeks ago. Instead, our gospel reading today is the one which is traditionally called the Christmas Gospel and is read at carol services and midnight communions throughout the Anglican Union around the world. Somehow, we missed it this year in our church, and its omission felt kind of weird and a little bit naughty, really. Peter asked me just before the midnight mass, would I like to read? And I was so thrilled when he asked me. I said, yes, I would. And when it was Matthew, I thought, oh my goodness, it's Matthew. And I was daunted today because the beginning of John's Gospel, written in Ephesus about AD 100, is considered by theologians to be the greatest theological writing that has ever been delivered. It simply cannot be improved or explained away lightly. It is a masterpiece of Christian thinking and understanding. So, the task is left to me on this first Sunday of 2025 to throw some light upon those profound words in the best way that I can. Now, to deliver this sermon, I have to take a big breath for each word and let that breath that's from deep within me, deep within my being, pass out of my lungs, up through my throat and my vocal cords, and out of my mouth to be heard by you. And once it's out of my mouth, the words cannot be taken back or cancelled. You will hear them and ponder on them. And you might find a word that sticks in your mind for a few days or even longer. Words have power for us humans. They have an ability to do things in themselves. The English language is said to have 1,220,000 words or so, and it's rising all the time. And it's fascinating to listen to the lovely Susie Dent, the lexicographer, explain English words and their meanings in Dictionary Corner on Countdown every weekday on Channel 4. I'm kind of addicted to it. And our words have a life which seems to sort of independence of us. When people hear them, words can change the way that they think and they live. For instance, I love you. I love you. Or, it's time to go. Come on, it's time to go. Our son-in-law says that all the time. It's so irritating. Or, of course, I hate you. Or, you're fired. People act and respond accordingly to words, and the words remain in their memory and go on and on, affecting them. One of the greatest exponents of the English language was, of course, William Shakespeare. And Sonnet 18 is a love poem, as indeed most of Shakespeare's sonnets were. And it's a poem about loving someone so much, the speaker seeks to immortalize that person in a poem that can never truly die. Excuse me. Shall I compare thee to a summer's day? Thou art more lovely, and yet more temperate. By thy eternal summer shall not fade, nor lose possession of that fair thou hast. Nor shall death brag thou wanderest in its shade, when in eternal lines to time thou growest. So long as men can breathe, or eyes can see, so long lives this, and this gives life to thee. It's simply stunning, isn't it? Can you imagine how those beautiful lines were received by the person for whom they were written? Extraordinary, isn't it? But John's Gospel is a love poem. It's a love poem written about Jesus to sum up all that Jesus is, to ensure that Jesus' gospel message must never die. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. These words are of such depth and importance. It is John's great thought that Jesus is none other than God's creative and life-giving and light-giving word. That Jesus is the power of God which created the world. and the reason of God, which sustains the world, come down to earth in human and bodily form. It alludes to the pre-existence of Jesus before creation. He was there in the beginning, before God breathed out his words and started creation itself. Let there be light. And there was light, and the light was good. So, in the same vein, Jesus was there when God created man, created Adam. And that simple fact unlocks all that we need to know about our Lord. It informs us of Jesus' love for us and for the world that he came to live amongst and he came to save. It informs us of Jesus' ability to calm storms, to feed 5,000 people, to raise to life from death Jairus' daughter and Lazarus, his friend. It informs us of Jesus' sacrifice and rising from the dead to new life in the Spirit. Now, John's Gospel tells of God's search for man. All other religions talk of man's search for God. So in Christianity, we are unique in that we follow the one who came to seek and to save that what was lost. Selwyn Hughes tells the story in Every Day with Jesus, I don't know how many of you have that, in of the lecturer in the Bible college that he attended, saying something which startled him at the first time he heard it, until he pondered it and came to see that it was true. And the lecturer said this: if God isn't like Jesus, I'm not interested in him. That's quite shocking, isn't it? If God isn't like Jesus, then I'm not interested in him. Now that's a thought, isn't it? But we need not worry. John's Gospel tells us that God is like Jesus. Our Lord confirms it. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father, he assures us in John 14, verse 9. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Isn't that amazing for us to ponder? At the carol concert here 2 weeks ago, the choir sang the hauntingly beautiful modern carol called Mary, Did You Know? And in it you get the profound line, and Mary, did you know that when you kissed your little baby, you kissed the face of God? Isn't that beautiful? So John tells us that all things came into existence through Jesus. Life was in him, and this life was the light of the human race. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Amen. Happy New Year.
During this song, an offering will be taken. Light of the world, you stepped down into darkness. Open my eyes. Let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Mm-hmm.
opened my eyes, let me see.
Of our prayers.
Let us pray. Eternal God, as we come before you in prayer this morning, help us to bring our lives and our gifts to your Son, our Lord, just as the wise men brought gifts to him in Bethlehem. With the power of your Holy Spirit, help us to worship and serve Christ our King. And remember that he lived in the world as a child, just like us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Faithful God, we pray for your church throughout the world, for wisdom and guidance for the leaders of all Christian denominations. We ask for your protection for Christians suffering persecution, especially those in Yemen and Nigeria. And pray that a way forward may be found for tolerance and understanding. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful God, help us as we pray for peace in this troubled world. We continue to pray for the people and governments of Ukraine, Russia, Palestine, Israel, Syria, and Sudan. We pray that justice and honesty will overcome killing and hatred. Especially remember those killed and the dozens who were injured in New Orleans on New Year's Day. Lord God, shine the light of your love into these dark places. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, we pray for all people who are searching for you. Give them the perseverance of the wise men. And if they meet us on their journey, help us to give them clear and helpful directions. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father God, your Son lived the life of a human child and a young man in Nazareth. We thank you for his presence with us in our homes and our lives. Guide us in our relationships with family and neighbours, especially those in trouble or need, and bless those who have supported and enriched our own lives. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving God, there are so many people we know who are going through painful and worrying times. Some are lonely. Some have lost their way. Some are sick and and some are grieving. In a moment of silence, I ask you now to name anyone on your mind this morning. From our prayer board, we pray for Rachel, for Pat, for Finn. Father, we ask you to grant them your comfort, guidance, healing, and peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, as we begin this new year, help us to remember the things that are truly important and worthwhile. Help us to see how you want us to serve you. Help us to put aside anxiety about the future and the past, so that we might live in peace with you now, one day at a time. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
So the wine without alcohol in it is the dark red colour, and we've got also got gluten-free wafers. Let me pray. Father God, I am reminded of the wise men who bowed down and worshipped God as a two-year-old. And we bow down and worship you as well, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. For you are God alone. We recognize that all things were created through Christ and for Christ, and we bless you. We praise you, Father, that on the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. He broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said this, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup and he gave thanks. And he gave it to all to drink again, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." So with this cup and this bread, we remember our Lord, that he offered up his life for us, that he chose the way of the cross so that we could be counted amongst the redeemed, so that we could be counted amongst the children of God Almighty. We pray, Lord, that you bless these gifts with your Holy Spirit now. And Father, we pray together as we have been taught. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. So there's a few people at home. So the body of Christ keep you in eternal life. Amen. The blood of Christ keep you in eternal life. Please come forward.
Thank you.
as we approach the end of this service and come to our final song of worship, I think it would be appropriate just to recognise someone's birthday, which occurred very recently. And it was quite a high number, I believe. Well, wasn't it, John? Yes. Invert 59, and you get how old John was yesterday. John reached 95 yesterday. And we are blessed to still have him with us and preaching regularly with us. It's a real joy. And I think it would be appropriate to mark that. Unaccompanied. Give us a
happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear John. Happy birthday to you.
And definitely not 95 of them. Our final song of worship, and sing with vigor.
We are the sound of heaven. Your throne of praise will be heard. We will praise you with everything in our heart. We will praise you.
Amen. Lord, we pray that your church will rise with a roar in 2025. And eternal God, Creator, Son, and Spirit, at the start of this new year, help us let go of the past. Help us to lay down our failures, guilt, and shame, and lift up our eyes and look to the future. Let the grace of your presence strengthen our resolve, enlighten our minds, clarify our wills, and inflame our hearts with love for you and for all people. May we live lives dedicated to you, and in peace, with courage, faith, and cheerfulness, walk closely with you until the year's end. Through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Please, there is prayer after the service over here for those who would wish it, and please do join us for refreshments next door.
Let the flame burn.